Welcome to the SwampSwami.com audio podcast. Take it away, Mr. Haney. Swamp Swami has the sports for me. Watching sports since the age of three. He covers stories far and wide. Bring your sense of humor and come inside. Sports scores and more. Fresh takes. Fast breaks. Sports are my life. Yeah, right, said his wife. Swamp Swami's podcast show. And welcome back to the SwampSwami.com sports podcast. Today, a better way into the NBA. As the number of teams in the NCAA men's basketball tournament continues to dwindle, a growing number of individual players are now declaring their intention to enter the National Basketball Association draft later this spring. Today's sports headline, and one of many from around the U.S., includes this. University of North Carolina freshman big man Dayron Sharp will enter the NBA draft. The 6'11", 265-pound Sharp announced his decision after averaging 9 points and 7 rebounds per game coming off the bench. He said, "I feel I'm ready now for the next level. I've made it this far and there's no reason for me to stop now." Really? This young man can't even earn a starting role on his own college basketball team and he wants to play in the NBA. Hey, he had 4 points and 3 rebounds in UNC's first round exit against Wisconsin last week. Who told this young man he's ready for the next level? Around the country, multitudes of young basketball players are already signaling to NBA teams, hey, look at me, and inviting scouts to take a closer look and let the players know what their chances of being drafted are. Now, last year, 205 college players declared themselves to be draft eligible by the NBA prior to the 2020 NBA draft. Since the NBA has 30 teams and only 2 rounds of annual player draft, that means there were just 60 happily employed new professional basketball players last year. The remaining young athletes found themselves scrambling for a place to play. In the NBA's developmental league called the G League, or perhaps even overseas, where they hope to earn a paycheck by playing basketball. So why do college basketball players have to declare themselves eligible for the NBA draft at all? This is a very unique and bizarre way of courtship between the NBA and hundreds of basketball players whose dream it's always been to play in the NBA. And with only 400 total spots available on the rosters of those 30 NBA teams, most college basketball players will never take the floor to play in the basketball big leagues. As the game is currently configured, here's a summary of what happens if a college basketball player who isn't already a senior without additional college eligibility remaining, who wants to leave school early and have a chance to play in the NBA. Number 1. If you're a freshman, sophomore, or junior, you must file paperwork and declare your intent to be evaluated by the NBA's Undergraduate Advisory Committee, whoever that is. Number 2. The player may retain an agent at this point. Now, an agent is allowed to pay for transportation, fuel, and lodging for the player and his family during the draft evaluation process. Of course, the agent will then grab a percentage of the player's future contract value if he makes the cut. Number 3, the NBA's 30 teams then provide an initial feedback to the players as to their most likely draft position. Like if you're a lottery pick in the first round, or late first round, or early second round, or late second round, or not drafted at all. Number 4, the NBA teams will develop a consensus of the top 60 potential draft candidates. Now, these candidates will be invited to the NBA's draft combine, usually held in May. Number 5. The next 40 potential draft picks, numbers 61 through 100 on the NBA list, are sent an invitation to the Developmental League, or the G League combine, which is also held usually late in May. Number 6. If the player wasn't invited to either one of these two events, he may withdraw his name from consideration from the draft and must release the agent if he wants to go back to school and remain eligible for college basketball. Number 7. The NBA will only allow a player to attempt this procedure 2 different times during his college career. Got it? In other words, the entire procedure is left up to a 19, 20, or 21-year-old young person to undertake all of this at their own cost and risk.
The young man must identify and trust an NBA agent who is only interested in his own cut of the player's future earnings. And then the agent and the player set out on a journey to see which NBA team or teams wants to interview the player and have a brief tryout. Now, all of this is happening while the student athlete is supposed to be taking college classes during his spring semester, right? Though we can surmise that the vast majority of these NBA-bound athletes really don't have a serious interest in their college education at this point. There are some, though, who do care about taking advantage of this educational opportunity. It all sounds terrific, if you're the NBA, that is. The onus is placed entirely upon the prospective employee to initiate this odd courtship dance. After a few months of travel and tryouts and interviews, the college basketball player then sits and waits and hopes. If the player's name is not called in late June's NBA draft during round one or two, the value for his basketball services dwindles very quickly. And here's what's at stake for the player. If you're drafted in the NBA's first round last year, the top pick made $8 million per season, all the way down to $1.6 million per season for pick number 30, the last pick in the first round. Not too bad. If you're picked in the second round, you'll at least receive a guaranteed contract and the minimum salary in the NBA, which is not bad at all, $838,000 per year.
Excellent.
Now, if you do not get drafted, you remain a free agent. If the player makes the NBA squad, eventually they can receive the NBA minimum salary of that $838,000. But if they make the franchise developmental G League team, that minimum pay goes down to $125,000 for the five-month basketball season there. Now, I don't understand why these student athletes cannot remain in classes for the entire spring semester and make the NBA franchises do some or most of this legwork. Aren't the professional basketball teams going to benefit the most from finding the future players? Answer, they won't do it because they don't have to. The NBA minimizes its own expenses by keeping this current process intact. By having a centralized annual player combine, the league's potential professional players arrive at the single location at the agent or player's own cost for workouts and interviews prior to the annual NBA draft. Now let's contrast this to something about our own life, our own interviewing and hiring experiences. Let's say you're a new college graduate and you're asked to come for a job interview with Company Z in another town. The company historically will offer to pay for or reimburse the majority of your expenses associated with the job interview, regardless of whether you are hired by the company or not. The NBA does not. Then again, this professional basketball monopoly has no true incentive to spend any more money on the hiring process than absolutely necessary. It's that old pesky economic term of law of supply and demand. The NBA totally controls the demand side of the equation. Now here's a novel idea. Most parents, I believe, would find it far better for their college student athletes to stay in school each spring and complete the coursework for the spring semester and then require the NBA to approach their potential professional basketball player son at the local university for a private tryout and interview, all at the NBA's expense. At least 45 days prior to the NBA draft, which usually happens in late June, each NBA team could provide the league's home office with a list of the team's possible 60 draft choices. Each of the 30 NBA franchises would obviously have some overlap in coveting certain players near the top, but they won't entirely agree on the player list. So let's say that over all the 30 teams with their top 60, we have a total of 100 players identified by those 30 NBA teams, with each player receiving up to a maximum of 30 possible votes. Everybody wants him, or some players only having one vote. The NBA could provide this composite list to every possible player identified, along with the number of votes that each player received. So the ones garnering the most votes will know in advance that they are likely to have a future opportunity to play ball in the NBA. The student athletes with, let's say, one or two votes might want to wish to consider staying in school. By June 1st, or about 3 weeks before the NBA draft, any identified player on this composite list would be required to sign a letter of intent, signaling their willingness to be drafted by any NBA team calling their name during the first or second round of the draft. In that manner, each NBA team would be assured that any player they draft has already agreed to negotiate a contract and play professional basketball for the association. Anyone not signing and returning the letter of intent, though, would not be eligible to be drafted. So let's summarize these benefits, if we did it that way. Number one, the student athlete's spring college class schedule would remain intact. The university and the student athletes would both complete their mutual obligations to each other. Number two, the NBA teams would still have an opportunity to talk with and observe possible future draft choices, albeit now more at their expense, a few months ahead of the annual player draft held in late June. Number three, the parents of these student athletes would then have written proof showing that there is legitimate NBA interest in their son prior to the draft so that they might be able to better counsel their son and weigh their options. And number four, most importantly, the potential NBA player himself wouldn't feel the need to hire a money-grabbing agent, if at all, until such time as the player hears his name announced by a team in the first or second round on draft night. At some point in the future, it would be nice to hear basketball student athletes talking about their upcoming spring exams rather than who just declared for the upcoming NBA draft. I'm the always hopeful Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.